and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm here. Listen, I was up very late giving men whiskey and helping them move heavy things in my house.
Aww.
Why? In order to make a studio for you two.
You were putting those steroids to good use.
Exactly. I was like, I'll lift that. I'll lift that whole console and the Buick on top of it. Oh, dear God. Yes. We're, I've got a barn. Let's put on a show. All right.
With
so,
animals in it. You have a bar.
Yeah, Tony was, I was actually crawling under a console with whiskey for Tony.
All right.
We had to assemble and reassemble a whole thing last night.
Do you have whiskey at your house?
Yes.
Really?
For Tony, I do.
Wow.
Glenn Limit.
All right.
Listen,
I didn't know any whiskey drinkers ever stepped foot in your house.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, dear God,
well,
yes.
I've been there.
Yeah, Jim's
well,
been
okay.
there.
It's probably just the bottle that Jim left accidentally once.
All right, so kids, by the way, thanks for all your donations to Free Speech TV.
Yeah.
This enabled us to continue our little radio and television. Oh, a lot of people confused. We are continuing on the radio.
Yes.
The Free Speech TV show is the same thing that was on Current. It will be 3 hours live televised of the radio show.
That's right.
But it won't be in my house, and Matt and Fran will be on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were saying it'll be a combination. It'll be like a little reality show. The weather show, when Max walks in front of the camera, it'll be like, oh, that snow front is continuing to move across the eastern seaboard.
And it's July.
It'll be part Animal Planet meets Morning Blog.
And calls are slow. We can interview the dogs.
Right. Exactly. All right.
Can we get Boy Band on the show?
No.
Come on.
He doesn't have far to go. Don't.
Oh.
Right, don't. I don't. Let's just not go there. All right.
Okay.
All right. And let's see. Mel writes, have a blast in Seattle, everybody. By the way, Seattle is going to be the partay of all partays. Jim Ward joining Sexy Liberal for the first time ever.
If I'm still alive.
Rocky Mountain Mike and Company opening up the show. Dan Savage on panel. We're very, very excited. Come on down. Portland. There's people coming from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Mel says, Steph, happy to hear you back on the show. I like your cold-induced weird voice. It cracks me up. I think maybe I'll do... Maybe I'll do my entire Sexy Liberal in that voice.
Well, I have to make do with my cold-induced weird voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my voice is the states looking at the states that have nice things,
yeah.
Like healthcare exchanges. I don't even know how that happened.
Hey.
It was Tennessee. It was my
Tennessee, Tennessee. Looking over the border at Kentucky. Yeah.
Hey, Kentucky, what are you got over there?
What are you doing over there?
What's that?
Stuart.
Hey, that looks nice. Why are you here?
Could also be Arizona looking over the border at California.
Hey, California. That is just weird. I am a weird little bird. Okay.
Why can't we have a radioactive ocean?
Hey. Okay. Hey, speaking of weird little birds.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Oh, Carl Frisch, are you going to come and bring Dexter to be on the TV show in the new year?
It's so warm out there in L.A., I must.
Yes, I think you must. I think you must.
Well, it's so exciting.
Thank you.
Back on the tube.
Yeah, back on the tube. And like I was saying, Max and Fred can be in the show.
Well, I think Max and Fred could eat Dexter for, like, a snack.
Right?
Yeah.
And that one, we're talking ratings. If you love me, come on. We'll get them all stitched up. It'll be fine.
I think Dexter clocks in at all of breakfast.
Yeah. Dexter would be like a rice cake to them.
Yeah.
Carl Frisch, you tweeted, coverage of the war on Christmas is the real war on Christmas. It detracts more from the reason for the season than anything else does. It is true, and it's like clockwork every year, right?
Well, I mean, and then, of course, I said that before Megyn Kelly had reported, you know, she's what Fox News says is a serious journalist, before she reported that Santa and Jesus, and this is breaking news,
are
white.
Oh,
not according to the plan.
You don't say.
Yeah, they were having a discussion on Fox News, and Megyn Kelly had to let the children watching at home know that they were just having a philosophical discussion and that Jesus and Santa were, in fact, white men.
Jesus was most definitely not white.
According to the Quran, he had brown skin.
You know, you guys with your, like, you know, geography, much science and the media.
Yeah.
Right.
Letters, shapes, numbers, colors.
Sorry. Blinded
smells,
you with science once
have
again.
Have a liberal bias.
Right. Smells. I hadn't heard that one. Carl Frisch, you say, remember, kids, it's tyranny to help afford quality health care, but it's freedom to ban gay marriage.
That's right.
Nicely said, sir. Nicely said.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, it's not all that difficult to point out the hypocrisy of the right wing on these issues. And since it was the gayest year on record, as well as the warmest year on record, so I'm only waiting for Pat Robertson to blame climate change on gay people. Let me put it this way. We create a lot of friction.
Right.
Since it is the gayest year on record, it's important to point out that there are still people standing in the way of equality who claim to be freedom-loving patriots.
By the by, we started this story yesterday. I got to run this one by you. Did you see the New York Times story, How Many American Men Are Gay? Did you see this?
I did. And believe me, I've traveled across the South. It's true.
I thought it's really interesting, though. It's like speaking of scary numbers and facts and science, it's based on, you know, Nate Silver kind of stuff. They did a whole, right? They did the census, Gallup, Facebook. And they were talking about the fact that, there's a lot more gay men than admit to it, obviously, but, you know, in less tolerant places.
They could have done even more to get to the numbers. Like, if you are a man.
Right.
And you are Googling the phrase Tom Daly, you're gay. There is no reason.
All right.
Absolutely no reason. Unless you are like your occupation is diving coach. And even then, you're probably gay. There are a variety of search. If you Google Cher or Madonna and you're a man.
Although many people want to see the crappy picture of me in the wrinkly green pashmina with Cher. So you're not necessarily gay. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're gay.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, it's true. And you know what the other thing is that there's been studies done of the South. You know, there are more out-of-wedlock children born. There are more teenage pregnancies in the South, even though they have abstinence education only. There is a higher percentage of people, getting pornography on the Internet in the South, even though they're all holy rollers. So, you know.
Well, let's go through this, because, you know, I think that's a big deal, as you say, as we conclude the gayest year ever. He is estimating about 5%, because he's saying gay men are half as likely as straight men to acknowledge their sexuality on social networks. More than a quarter of gay men hide their sexuality from anonymous surveys. And this was shocking to all of us. This also suggests a large number of gay men are married to women. To women, you say?
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
Really? Really?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if this is what the right wants, they want gay men to get married to straight women.
Yeah.
And you know who it shortchanges is the women.
Yeah.
You know, then you get to find, who knew that the 10th anniversary, it wasn't paper or silver or gold. It was finding another man in your bed.
Yeah.
You have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Exactly. All right, let's go through this. While these data sources all measure different degrees of openness, one result is strikingly similar. All three suggest the openly gay population is dramatically higher in more tolerant states. On Facebook, for example, about 1% of men in Mississippi who list a gender preference say they're interested in men. In California, more than 3% do. But I think the fascinating part of this study, Carl, I know you read it, is he says, are there really so many fewer gay men living in less tolerant states? There is no evidence that gay men would be less likely to be born in these states. Many of them moved to more tolerant states. Some have, but Facebook data show that mobility can only explain a small fraction of the difference in the totally out population. Some gay men do move out of less tolerant states, but they're saying this effect is small, right?
Absolutely.
We can approach the question of whether intolerant areas actually have fewer gay men another way, too, by estimating the percentage of searches, like you just said, for porn that are looking for depictions of gay men. So roughly 5% of porn sites.
Or is it called in the South, research.
Right. Roughly 5% of porn researchers are looking for depictions of gay men in all states. This, again, suggests that there are about as many gay men in less tolerant states as there are anywhere else, which, and But the point of this whole, you know, story in a way, you know, as you say, after we finish The Gayest Year Ever, Carl, is that that's kind of sad. I mean, the point of the whole piece is how sad, you know, sad lives a lot of people are living in certain states.
Well, and it also points to one of the reasons that those states continue to be homophobic, right? So if we know that the biggest killer of homophobia is people being out, then the tolerant states have the most people that are out, and the intolerant states have the most people that remain in the closet. So if people would come out, yes, it's going to be more difficult in these intolerant states.
But then they'll become more tolerant.
Right, it would have a proportional impact.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think the people in the gayer states are going to be looking over and going, hey.
I mean, let's just be honest, by the way. Tennessee is about the gayest state you can think of.
Yeah, hello.
You got healthcare and gays.
That state has nothing but backup dancers.
Yeah, listen to this. So since less tolerant states have similar percentages of gay men but far fewer openly gay men, there's a clear relationship between tolerance and openness. My preliminary research indicates for every 20 percentage point support for gay marriage, about 1.5 times as many men from that state will identify as openly gay on Facebook. Anyway, but he says in a perfectly tolerant world, my model estimates about 5% of men in the U.S. would say they are interested in men. These results suggest the closet remains a major factor in American life. For comparison, about 3.6% of American men tell anonymous surveys they're attracted to men. A tenth of gay men say they do not tell the most important people in their lives. I mean, fascinating
stuff,
right?
Well, and, you know, it's probably an even higher number because those would probably be men who are exclusively attracted to men.
Yeah.
And the number would be even higher for men that are attracted to both men and women. So, I think this kind of research is going to continue to happen. I feel like some of these reports come out every few years.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to know what it's like to meet, you know, largely closeted male gay populations, just go to the next Republican convention.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that they're all gay. I'm just saying that they have extra wide stalls. Because
I mean, they never have been gay.
I have to say, it was really pretty exhaustive, the research in this, though. They said, you know, how deep in the closet are men? They're saying it's possible not to say it on Facebook, but still be in healthy relationships. But he says data from Match.com, which has high membership for both gay and straight men, reveals a similarly large number of missing gay men in less tolerant states.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is that a lot of people accidentally, there was another story, not by the same folks, but a lot of college-aged guys are finding out that they're accidentally outing themselves on social networks, even if they've not put, you know, that they are a man interested in men, by the things that they search, the groups that they join, by the events that they get invited to. A lot of college-aged guys are finding out that they're getting outed to their parents before they're ready to come out at all.
If they know the difference between
Facebook.
If they know the difference between bone and a crew, for example.
Right, exactly. There you go. Yeah. Little tip off.
They know what the Pantone color of the year was.
That's right.
We have to finish with my favorite part. Additional evidence suggests many men and gay men in intolerant states are deeply in the closet comes from a surprising source, the Google searches of married women. It turns out that wives suspect their husbands of being gay rather frequently. In the U.S., of all Google searches that begin, "Is my husband," the most common word to follow is "gay."
Wow.
And by the way, the answer to that question is always yes.
Yes. Gay is 10% more common than searches in the second place word cheating. It's 8 times more common than an alcoholic. And 10 times more common than depressed.
If only you could be there to find out what led them to ask the question.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Like, it's dear possible. Google, I recently found my husband throat deep on another man. Is he gay?
Wow. Louise. All right. Now we can't have nice things. Any state.
Happy holidays.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Carl.
Have a happy flaming holiday. We love you.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Have a good one.
Goodbye, you and your Yule log. We'll see you.
Oh, 20 God.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. A subtle tip off, Michelle. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mama, soup is cold.
I am a wreck. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Roberto in Napa. Hello.
Hello,
hello
there,
wine.
Mama. How
hello,
are you?
Hello, wine country.
Wine country.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm just calling to say that back in about 2005, I was in a marriage of 25 years, and my wife went crazy on prescription drugs, and she sued me for divorce after 25 years of strict monogamy. She sued me for divorce on April Fool's Day.
Wow.
And 5 days later, I went and had an encounter with a professional male masseur, and I was so out of the closet, it wasn't funny.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. You just, like, you shuffle ball changed and kicked the door open with a fabulous
Well, my friends in Napa say that not only did I have a coming out, it was more like an explosion followed by a parade. So
with lots of glitter and confetti.
Fabulous.
No, more like leather. I'm sort of... Confession, yeah, I'm sort of kinky.
Okay,
yeah, all right.
Well, you know.
That's like being a little bit pregnant. But.
Yeah, all right. All right, kinky boots. All right, thanks thanks for calling. Oh, all right, lots of questions about the new... pardon me. I'm in my final phlegm stages.
Now it's all coming out.
Right?
Great.
Oh, you have no idea.
Petrified globs of phlegm.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I got
a lot
those.
Of questions about the new show. The new radio studio in Mama's house. We will, this January 2nd. Well, we're on vacation. This is our, next week is our last week before Christmas vacation.
Right.
Enjoy the best of, won't you? In LA and San Francisco, really, you should take a moment.
Because that's the last you're getting.
Right. Not just the last, it's not the best of, just the best of. It's the last of.
Yeah.
Get it while it's hot. All right. However, we will be continuing on many fine radio stations and Sirius XM.
Yeah. And people in Los Angeles can still hear the show.
Right.
There's just other
online
ways to get it.
Online and apps and Sirius and all of that.
Exactly.
Right. And you can see us on the TV starting in January on Free Speech TV. It could be up depending on if everything's ready.
Yeah.
January 2nd. If not, maybe January 6th. We will keep you posted.
I've been told they might want a week of rehearsals.
Really?
Yes.
We don't rehearse.
Well... They might need some technical rehearsals.
We improvise.
I'm sure Max and Fred can take care of all the camera angles.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
We don't need Natan.
Chris and Yankton with a more important question. Steph and the Moogs, when the show is broadcast from Steph's house, can we get a demonstration of her central vacuum system?
That's it.
Yes.
Does it go in that room?
No, we'll find a way to have a camera robe with me. I'll just pop one off the wall and take it with me.
Do you know how much we're paying to pop those cameras on the wall?
Yes, I do, and thank you very much for your support at Free Speech TV that is paying for those cameras and lights.
You can't just pop them off the wall.
We'll figure something out.
As long as there's that sound effect.
How am I going to get that back on there now?
Oops.
We'll have to put them on with suction cups so that I can go give tours of the house during the commercial breaks. Oh, my goodness. All right. So lots of love letters and all of that. Oh, we have a hate letter, though.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Can I have my hate letter music, please? Subject deterioration. I assume me.
Your voice.
It's clear. The show. Yeah. From Michael. Stephanie, I've listened to your show for some time. I always enjoy your guests and your political perspective. Unfortunately, it seems you and Chris and Jim have become more and more vulgar and tasteless in your banter.
Huh?
Oh, no. We've always been that way.
No. Oh, at least we
actually, I think we used to be worse.
At least we haven't played Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, right, Michael.
That was vulgar.
Reminds me of the gradual deterioration of Richard Pryor. Oh, well, at least we're in good company.
At least we haven't set fire to ourselves.
That's
no,
true.
No, that might be next.
That's coming.
Suggestive humor is becoming more and more vulgar and offensive. Oh, there's nothing suggestive about
it. No.
Did you hear what Carl Frisch just said? I fear I'm going to have to quit listening. I am really disappointed.
Disappointed!
Michael signs himself.
Disappointed!
All right. Well, you know. Sorry. 29
that
minutes.
That line was not from In-N-Out.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're out of your elfin mind. Oh, really?
Is he talking to Jeff Sessions?
Yes. More pecan sandies. Senator. Get back in the tree. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter, who I want to date and kiss and marry. Coming up.
He's one of several people you want to date and kiss and marry.
Right. Michael Tomosky. Okay. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. A lot of questions. Try to get them all answered since we've got just one more week before vacation. Let's see. This one from David in Massachusetts regarding my box.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Stephanie, a burning question from your loyal fans, which requires a full and immediate response as a matter of national importance. Is your box coming with you to the new studio?
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Yep.
We know that you like to push the correct buttons on it for optimum enjoyment and pleasure of those of us in Stethland, but would worry that the wonderful noises it produces, which serve to enhance our daily experience, will be lost. A further you remember that woman that threatened to dislocate the other woman's vagina?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Didn't know you could do that.
Right. And it's true. Yes, I guess you can. It can be dislocated or relocated to warmer climes if necessary.
It's portable.
Right. A further concern is if its use will be restricted to on-air hours, or if it's coming to your house, will it be in use on off-air time?
Computer says yes.
Yeah, I think there's going to be drinking and festive box playing at all hours of the day and night.
Sorry, what? Hmm? Oh, I see what you mean.
The public awaits a reply. David in Massachusetts. Well, there you go. Yes, my box is transferable and relocatable. And hopefully I will not dislocate it in a drunken stupor.
I would like a cat flap.
Would you now?
Yes.
You're not bringing your cats.
Why not?
Been there, done that. Okay. Speaking of boxes, Jody from Brick, New Jersey. Mm. Steph, I'm a teacher in Jersey. We have no school because of the snow. It's been too long since I've been able to actually see you guys on the Ustream. Hi. Now I'm so beyond excited about Free Speech TV that I'm going to run out and buy a Roku. I don't even know what the hell that is. Love you with a white hot burning pen. I don't either.
I think it's one of those.
What's a Roku?
It's one of those Ninja Stars things.
Oh, that's
a shooting can.
That's
good. A Roku box is probably about 3 inches by 3 inches. It's a tiny little thing that you hook up to your TV via HDMI. And
is this as small as Sharon Osbourne's?
Yes, it is.
Tiny.
And
she says that was just a joke, by the way. She didn't have her lady junk. Tiny.
Yes. And what you can do is you can download a bunch of apps for it. Like you can have HBO on it, and you can have Netflix on it, and you can have Hulu on it, and you can have Free Speech TV on it, and you can watch episodes of the show on your TV.
Oh my God!
It's a fascinating device.
Really?
Yes.
You just sounded like the biggest geek ever when you said that. I don't know why.
It's a fascinating device.
It's a fascinating device, Captain.
Nerd.
But I don't have one because I have an Apple TV because I invested in the Apple ecosystem.
Oh, you did. Okay, good for you. Mm-hmm. All right, I can't find the Sharon Osbourne lady bit story, but I will find it.
She lied.
Oh, there she is. Yeah, she says she lied.
Yeah.
About having her. She's
her
taking,
junk tightened.
Her vagina
right,
is quite
tight.
Right,
she said
enough,
she made up the whole story about getting vaginal rejuvenation. Okay. She said she was simply messing with Graham Norton when she recently told the BBC talk host that she had a surgical procedure to tighten up her lady junk. She said, how could I do that if I've had so much ill health? Now I'm going to start putting scaffolding up my vagina?
Computer says no.
There's an image.
All right.
That's probably Ozzy stumbling around the scaffolding.
Sharon, I can't find the ladder. I'm going to get up in there.
Oh, heavens. All right. One more. Let's see. From Ryan in Toronto. Sexy liberal road trip from Canada, eh?
Sexual liberal?
I think I need Canadian music for
this.
Oh, well, it could be. A lot of these trips do end up like that.
Well.
Listen, sexy liberal road trips often end in, sexy liberal strange, you know what I'm saying?
Is that what's going to happen to me in Phoenix?
Yeah, oh, you.
Oh, God.
Hey, Mama and the Mooks. Greetings from Toronto, home of the world's goofiest, gaffiest mayor. My sister and I are huge fans. We're making the trip to Seattle. Yay! To see a hopefully recovered Steph. Hopefully Jim and I will be recovered. And the sexy liberal crowd we adore. We haven't always had the closest relationship, my sister and I, but our more recent bonding includes Stephanie Miller. So last year I gifted her with the StephCast for Christmas, which is only $4.95 a month since I bought a year in advance, Gling.
Hmm.
You don't need to write the Gling out. I've got that.
Yeah.
Please look for us in Row J Center. Write that down, Jim. Canadian
Center.
As you know, Canadians are easy to pick out, as we will be apologizing frequently and drinking beer.
They're easy to pick out, eh?
Right?
Because they'll sit on the Chesterfield.
To simplify further, though, I will hold up a sign that says John Fiegel saying, "Can I grab your junk?" I think I can speak for him when I say
computer says yes.
It's kind of the point of sexy liberal.
He'll let anybody grab his junk.
Yeah, he won't mind, right?
Computer says nine.
Can't wait to see you Saturday, Ryan, in Toronto. One last thing. Since we're stuck with Rob Ford, y'all have to keep that hoser Ted Cruz. Shove his face in a bowl of poutine, then toss him a serviette to wipe up with, eh? All right. Will do. Will do. We're on it. All right. We were just talking to Carl Frisch about the this fascinating piece in the New York Times about how many gay men are in the closet. Mm-hmm. A lot is the point of the study. But somebody put one of these things online. You know, it's like little cutouts of the man and the woman.
Yes.
You know. And they were trying to say the sign with it is supposed to say it's not bigotry, it's biology. But they misspelled bigotry to bigorty.
It's littler tree.
It's not bigorty.
Bigorty. Bigorty. It's
As it
Bigorty.
Turns out, homophobe's not the smartest.
No. Bigorty how?
It's not Bigorty. Look, it's not Bigorty. It's biology.
It's Bigorty. It's Bigorty.
Well, now that you say it that way, it's...
And there's no apostrophe on it's.
If I'd known it was not Bigorty.
It's not Bigorty. It's Bigology. It's Bigology.
Girl pulp, man. Okay.
I'm not...
All right.
This person is obviously dyslexic. This
yes.
Dyslexic.
What?
Yes.
All right. Let me just finish the fun facts from this.
No,
because,
okay.
Okay, so because we were saying one of the main algorithms, as they say in the math business. I got your Pythagorean theorem right here. Searches questioning a husband's sexuality are far more common in the least tolerant states. You don't say. States with the highest percentage of women asking these questions are South Carolina and Louisiana.
Wow.
In fact, 21 of the 25 states where this question is most frequently asked, support for gay marriage is lower than the national average. Craigslist also let's look at this from a different angle, I'll say. What? I analyze ads for males looking for casual encounters. The percentage of these ads that are seeking casual encounters with men tends to be larger in less tolerant states. Among the states with the highest percentage, Kentucky, Louisiana,
wow.
and Alabama. Sometimes, though. Oh, boy. This is sad the way it ends. Sometimes I even get tired of looking at aggregate data, so I asked a psychiatrist in Mississippi. Oh, yikes.
Wow.
That's got to be...
Ooh, that's a full-time
job. That's a paycheck.
Yeah.
who specializes in helping closeted gay men. My God, if any of his patients might want to talk to me. One man contacted me. He told me he was a retired professor in his 60s, married to the same woman for more than 40 years. About 10 years ago, overwhelmed with stress, he saw the therapist and finally acknowledged his sexuality. He said he has always known he was attracted to men, but thought it was normal and something that men hid. Oh, dear.
Ooh.
He regrets virtually every one of his major life decisions.
That's sad.
Yeah. That's really sad. God. Yeah, that's a busy office. That's just like, all right, come on. Move him in, move him out.
You don't have to be gay to regret.
Let's go. You probably, like, they just open their mouth. I know, you're gay. Okay. Okay, I know, it's Mississippi.
Come out wherever you are.
Oh, by the way, guess what we missed?
What?
My good friend Meredith Baxter. Bernie got married.
That's right.
Well, not Bernie anymore, clearly.
What?
Meredith Baxter, sorry. I'm such a Bridget Loves Bernie gal, that sticks in my head still.
I never saw Bridget Loves Bernie.
Well, you're, I'm...
Now it's Bridget Loves...
ancient.
Now
yes.
Loves Bridget Loves Bernadette.
Yes.
Well...
Yes. She married a contractor, Nancy Locke, who I love, who they've been dating for 7 years, have been at my house many times, love them. She's been married 3 times before to men. So I think, as she said to me once, you can't say it and try it.
3 times before.
It's true.
And everyone was an Henry.
She was on the Three Strikes and You're Out program.
Never a Willie or a Sam. Well, never a Willie anymore, but...
What? Not never, what Jim. What do you... Obviously, it's a lot of times.
Henry VIII. Herman's Hermits.
I get it. All right.
I know. You're pretending you don't remember the 60s.
I don't remember the 60s. How about this headline? Unarmed man shot by NYPD has been charged with assault because bullets hit bystanders.
Yeah.
They bounced off him.
Why would he be charged?
Because he's black.
Right. It's a 35-year-old black man from Brooklyn.
Wow.
Was unarmed on the night of September 14th when NYPD officers shot at him in the middle of Times Square, striking 2 bystanders. Instead of apologizing, the city has charged him with assault on the theory that he was responsible for the bullet wound suffered by the 2 bystanders. He was emotionally disturbed and dodging cars in the middle of the street when officers say he reached into his pocket to grab what they believe was a weapon, prompting them to open fire. He was reaching for his wallet, as it turned out. So he could spend up to 25 years in prison. The district attorney said the defendant is the one that created the situation that injured innocent bystanders.
No,
yes, by reaching for your wallet in Times Square. Now look what you did. Bullets bounced, perfectly good bullets bounced off you and hit other people.
That's insane.
Isn't it? Okay. Just that was the most not since the sock puppet with the gun that was confiscated at the NSA.
The sock monkey. Read.
Right.
Yes.
Rooster Monk Burn. Okay. Our country's insane. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. You had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, didn't you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night to know what everything's about. You had to have a white hot spotlight. You had to be a big shot last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. All right. Oh, by the way, we did a story the other day about a guy, Jim, that woke up in Jersey with a knife in his back. And I was saying it seemed that was him usual if you woke up in New Jersey without a knife in your back.
Sure.
But I could have.
Did we get cars and letters from New Jersey?
Yes, Damien and Johnstown.
Oh, God.
Don't mess with Jersey. Steph, I was born in Trenton, and I'm proud to say not once have I woken up with anything that wasn't supposed to be there. Hoboken and Camden, whole other thing.
Hey, woke up with a knife in my chest. That's different.
Hey, it's going to be a good day.
Hey.
Also,
hey, Connecticut.
Don't do that.
Okay. Also, you guys are talking about other places you can listen. You're forgetting about the TuneIn app and WCPT out of Chicago. Best station
ever. We've mentioned that. We've mentioned that quite a few times.
Best station ever. Love our Chicago stations.
On TuneIn, you can listen to a lot of our stations, like WCPT, KTNF out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, right. KPTR out of Palm Springs, all of them great stations.
Awesome. Speaking of stations, Joe in Syracuse said, Stephen and Mooks, this was on Tuesday, CNN, MSNBC, BBC, everywhere, all obviously had live coverage of the Nelson Mandela service from South Africa. Fox News? No coverage of the Mandela service. They were busy talking about how Obamacare was going to destroy all of the nation's volunteer fire departments.
Yeah.
Really? Yep, that was the big story around the world. What now?
Huh?
What? Actually, Selfiegate was the biggest story.
That was.
Did you see the photographer that took the picture of the selfie being taken?
Uh-huh.
Said, Prime Minister and the British Prime Minister and the President, obviously, they took a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it was not a funeral. The funeral is a different, this was the celebration of his life.
Memorial service.
Anyway, she insists Michelle Obama's stern reaction seen in the photo was not directed at the group. That's what I said. She doesn't even look like she's, and you know, 2 seconds earlier, she was laughing and talking to them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I heard a guy yesterday going, oh, every guy in the world recognized that. That was the stank eye. She said, I later read on social media that Michelle Obama seemed to be rather peeved on seeing the Danish Prime Minister take the picture. Photos can lie. In reality, just a few seconds earlier, the First Lady was herself joking with those around her, Cameron and Thorning Schmidt, the Danish Prime Minister included. Her stern look was captured by chance. I took those photos totally spontaneously without thinking what impact they might have at the time. I thought the world leaders were simply acting like human beings, like me or you. I guess it's a sign of our times that somehow this image seemed to get more attention than the event itself. Go figure. Yeah.
It's sad.
Yes.
Yes, but it was a black man and a white woman.
Right. Right, because that's what I said the minute he got there. That's exactly what Obama said. That was his
Hey, where are the white women at?
Exactly.
Let me get a selfie. Oh, this doesn't piss Michelle off. Oh, boy.
Why would if he knew he was going to piss
off? And then I heard, oh, well, she's part of the Obama liberal media. She's just covering up.
Huh?
What? I don't know. The whole selfie gate. Yeah.
They were just tying themselves into knots.
Yeah.
Trying to pin it on.
Okay, so Mark Levin and all the irritating far right seem to hate the budget deal, so I say must be good. Something.
Van Hollen and Pelosi aren't too excited about it.
Mm. I think this is just the best we can do these days.
Yeah.
It's like less awful. And, you know, Tomosky, who I want to date and marry and I trust, said he writes, so is it a good thing, this budget deal? It's a less bad thing than most bad things that have been happening on Capitol Hill over the last couple of years. I knew Rush hated it, so right away I thought, oh, something vaguely good must have happened. Tomasky writes, so that's progress of a sort, and to the extent that it sets spending at levels higher than the sequester did, it's a win for liberals and others who want to get out from under the sequestration-imposed spending limits. I heard Rush saying that yesterday again. Like, this is a bipartisan idea. It was President's idea, the sequestration. It was a bipartisanly awful idea that they both came up with, both sides, to make sure it never happened. So they're all on record as saying they hated it, and now they're like, oh, no, we love it now. Now we want the meat axe cuts.
But I love something that makes John Boehner just screech at the far right.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear
that?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. At any rate.
Hell no, you can't!
Link. The deal tops out at $1.012 trillion for 2014, a reasonable amount higher than the sequester level of $967 billion, and symbolically meaningful because it crosses that trillion threshold, which the Tea Partiers must hate. Hmm. So it could be worse. But he says, you know, the drumbeat on the right, especially on talk radio right, is likely to be that this deal is a win for the big spending Obama bots. And if that's the message, then support in the GOP House could vaporize pretty quickly. January 15th is a long way away. Will the hard right risk another shutdown over $45 billion?
Probably.
That's going to be the question. Don't believe yet anyone who tells you they know the answer, says Tomasky. Yeah, interesting. Representative Chris Van Hollen.
The way the agreement was taking shape would absolutely not be acceptable to members of the Democratic caucus. It's now in a form where members of our caucus will have to decide for themselves.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement.
No.
You guys decide for yourselves if
could
you like it.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it'll have to do.
Sort of like plain yogurt. With tofu.
Decide for yourself.
Nancy Pelosi.
Honey in it, at least. Okay.
I don't know where that will come down, because, as you know, our budget that Mr. Van Hollen and our conferees were putting forth was quite different.
We liked ours better, but here's what we've got.
I guess this will have to do.
But the good thing is Boehner went after the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The groups that came out and opposed it before they ever saw it, they're using our members and they're using the American people for their own goals. This is ridiculous.
But he helped create those groups.
Exactly. That's why it's so ridiculous.
He gave birth to those groups, and now he has to deal with the surly teenagers.
Right.
Bastards.
Right.
Go back to your room.
It's like everyone thinks their newborn's going to be beautiful, and sometimes you're like, my God.
They're out torturing frogs in the backyard. That's what these groups are doing.
Matt Kibbe of the Weird Sideburns and of Freedom Works.
Yes.
He said, once again, Republicans led by John Boehner are working with Democrats to increase spending yet again on the taxpayers' tab while promising savings down the road. We know how this movie ends. How can leadership credibly promise spending cuts later after agreeing to a plan that rolls back the sequester savings promised two debt increases ago? Blah, 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 blah. Boehner.
Listen, if you're for more deficit reduction, you're for this agreement.
Ooh.
If not, you can go suck it.
He sounded angry.
Yeah. He sounded more like...
drunk.
Who's been drinking my Jaywalker Red?
Someone sent me a picture of him the other day, like, ooh, he's looking a little rough.
Another thing.
Thought of this? Serious, thoughtful budget guy, Paul Ryan.
We've got to find a way to make this divided government work. We think it's our nation's interest to do that.
Oh,
isn't
there.
That wonderful, Eddie?
Oh, there,
I
man.
Won't go! I won't, I won't, I won't!
They're going to teabag him. They're going to try to teabag him right out of the house now. Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
I won't go! It's premium support. I need some premium support here. It's the teabaggers. Help me. Serious plan. I'm serious.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Because Bob Seska of the Daily Banner coming up next hour. It's going on my voice now. It's just that typical, I'm sort of a like dude register.
Yeah.
I'm a little post-sick, but a little...
You're like Suzanne Plachet in The Birds. Not quite Bob Newhart
Bob,
show.
Bob. Bob.
You're not quite Bob Newhart. No. Show.
Several cigarettes ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Suzanne Plachet had a low voice in The Birds, but not quite that low.
Is it the steroids? What is it?
Don't know.
Well, check your balls. We'll see.
Yeah.
They're descending nicely. Okay.
Have you no-no'd them?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
They are.
Oh, boy.
Yikes. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I am recovering from something. The dreck.
I'm in mid-dreck.
Yes. But I am, thanks to the fine Americans, our fans, I love you so much. As I was saying, I was a little match girl. And people donated enough money to get me into the restaurant back on TV. Mm-hmm. Julie in Seattle writes, congrats, little match girl. Just saw the video announcement. Woot! We got it, but kids, don't stop now, for God's sakes. So happy to hear your peeps pay the ransom money. You know your obsession with the little match girl is one I, too, am afflicted with. Thanks for the neat book, Mom. And by the way, thanks for the copy of Anne Frank you gave me in third grade. OMG, is that a story for little kids? Yeah, little match girl is horrible.
It's awful. She dies at the end.
Barefoot in the snow, starving, and watching rich people eat figgy pudding and roast meat through a frosty window. Last match, dying out, the only person who was ever nice to the match girl, Grandma, taking her hand and walking her poor, deprived little soul off to sell matches. Oh, in the next world. Oh.
It's a very corporate Christmas.
It's awful.
Christmas, here's a book for you. Oh, dear. Christmas and life in general was poisoned forever in the third grade. My eyes were wide open. After that, I was a bitter, bitter person.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter.
Yep.
Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
All right. Which is why I enjoyed this love letter from Steve in Las Vegas. It's an inspirational love letter, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you're inspired already. Steve in Las Vegas. It's our Thursday appreciation email.
Okay.
Hey, you three.
Hey.
Hey,
where do you guys go?
Stephanie made a good point the other day when she talked about how talk radio and media corporations work, but there's something else I'd like you to take into account. What you're doing is clearly working. Oh, yeah.
Computer says yes.
Oh, yeah, we got them right where we want them now. Much like voter suppression, progressive radio is always getting a hard time, and that's because it scares them. Your show in particular terrifies them. Right? A scared.
Feared.
The one thing that sociopaths and malignant narcissists hate more than anything else is being laughed at. That's where the Stephanie Miller Show comes in. You three deliver the fact-based pie in the face that turns the righties into a crying baby, even without the airplane. So what if the financial deck is stacked against us? It always was. And just as voter suppression only brings out more voters in the long run, they're not going to keep you down. Our side of the aisle is hip to the new media. That's true. We got all the hep kids on our side.
Sure.
That will keep us connected with you, and those Limbaugh listeners with their AM radios, not so much. Be of good cheer, knowing your hearts 2014 is going to be awesome. Roll with the changes, laugh when you're off the air, too. Oh, we laugh. Laugh. And bask in our return love and money support, knowing that thanks in part to your efforts, we're going to keep the Senate, take back the House, and basically just turn the right wing into a sad, squeaky little chew toy. Steve in Las Vegas.
Yeah. We got the Hepcats over here. I don't think Rush Limbaugh has a Roku app.
He does not. He does not have a Roku box. And I have balls, thanks to my steroids.
That's
so
right.
Got more than he does. All right. Oh, yes, because people wanting information. You wrote this, just clarifying. Free Speech TV available on online.
Yes.
So you can watch online as well.
Freespeech.org.
Thank you. Also available on Roku boxes, as you just mentioned, as an app. You can watch through your TV. It's available on DirecTV and Dish, the two major satellite companies in the U.S. Also available on some cable systems via the public access channels.
Yep. And there's a list of those channels at freespeech.org.
I was just going to say that.
Well,
thank
okay.
you.
Sorry.
And the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, who's coming dangerously close at this point, said Free Speech TV is online. It's also on digital platforms, Dish and Direct. On cable system, it's growing in households. Sirius XM is growing in subscribers. Progressive Voices apps is growing each month in user starts. Bottom line, our format is growing. AM radio is like Mr. Jones and the Bob Dylan song. They don't know what's happening.
You know,
right?
Yeah,
there's a choice people are making. And there's lots of different choices. Listen to different ways to get the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, boy.
That was my weird voice mixed with my Bob Dylan impression. Rocky Mountain Mike, by the way, reminds us that I am an app as well. I am not just a woman. I am an iPhone app.
All Santorum Power.
That was Mary and her boyfriend, Steve,
yeah,
in Ann Arbor. Thank you, kids.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
We have a brand new premium up at... Yes, at the Free Speech TV fundraising.
What is it?
Let's see. If you give $75,
yeah,
you'll get a special campaign-only flash drive with the Stephanie Miller Show logo on one side and Free Speech TV on the other, fully loaded with special content celebrating Stephanie's first day on Free Speech TV.
Ermagerd.
That is brand new today.
Ermagerd.
Oh, I forgot to send you send you guys a thing yesterday. It's a dog. Oh. And he's saying, Ermagerd, sprinklers, because the sprinklers just went on. Funny.
You really didn't need to send that to us.
Ermagerd, sprinklers, sprinklers. Robert in Las Vegas. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie, my horse voice person.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I deal with this little gift from Agent Orange that I picked up over in Vietnam called reactive lung disorder.
Mm.
And about two times a year I have to end up on steroids and antibiotics. And your husky voice will live with you for about 2 weeks after you're done with the steroids.
Oh, and how about my testicles?
That's testosterone hydrochloride.
That's different thing. That's different.
The VA gives me that too to keep my testicles healthy.
Oh, okay. I don't just you know what I'm at that age for prostate trouble. You know how it is.
Sure.
Urge to go, that kind of stuff. I'm going to be fishing with old men soon.
Or you stand at the toilet for 15 minutes waiting for something to start.
Right. Right. I've been standing under a disco ball trying to get my low T up.
Sure.
Having all sorts of problems. My kitchen has not turned into a waterfall lately. I'm confused. Jim, the more important thing is, what are you doing to stop the sperm apocalypse?
Sorry, what?
Gawker brings us a story. Mm-hmm. Drinking lots and lots of wine may prevent the Earth's sperm apocalypse.
Oh. Well,
sperm-pocalypse.
It's a sperm.
That's worse than a Sharknado.
It is.
It is a sperm-nado.
I don't think I
end
in doing that.
Sperm-pocalypse. This is a science stack, please. Thank you.
Right.
Important new research proves that drinking lots and lots of wine every week makes men have a stronger sperm.
Really?
This means the sperm is more likely to reach its quote-unquote goal, which is some part of a lady. If the sperm was ejaculated in the general direction of a lady.
Of said lady.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, lady. What I got.
Well, God, if wine strengthens sperm, then Jim's
sperm. Jim must be, wow.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Get back to the chopper.
Jay Cutler.
Get up my sperm back in the chopper. I know that this.
Study by Polish researchers.
This man is no balls.
This is not the tumor.
Pulse.
This is not the tumor. Revealed that gulping down a half dozen glasses of wine a week, which
half
is nothing,
dozen.
Which is nothing really. I call that Thursday.
I call that breakfast.
I call that man up. Dramatically improve the viability of a man's sperm.
Not the viability of your liver necessarily.
No.
That's not covered here. The liver. We're talking about the sperm apocalypse.
Right.
Everybody, focus.
Starring Ian Ziering.
Gawker writes, just about everything men do is bad for sperm. CBS Atlanta lists some of the current causes of our planet's sperm crisis. Men wear weirdly tight underpants.
Tidy whities.
Stop it. And carry cell phones right next to their testicles.
Oh, no. Bad idea.
Who has a pocket right next to their testicles?
I do.
Do you really?
That's carry my cell phone next to my recently
my
grown
testicles.
And also work too much.
It's a cell phone and a sperm warmer. A sperm cozy.
And also work too much and are stressed and too stressed, so stressed and worn out, the sperm just becomes more and more messed up until it doesn't even want to try.
like most men who are stressed and
right. It gets
into
lady parts and it's like meh.
It starts out as Mark Spitz and ends up as Martin Short in the swimming pool.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not a strong swimmer.
Or Shelley Winters in Poseidon Adventure. Dies before it gets to the end.
That's a great reference. It's good job. You guys are good today. That's different. Okay, I kid, of course. Let's see. You might think we have plenty of people already, so who cares about the decades-long trend in weaker, smaller, dumber sperm?
Which way do you go?
In ever-decreasing numbers. But with so few Americans able to afford children at all, and so few people even bothering to have procreative sexual intercourse, our nation is at risk at being nothing more than very old people yelling at the TV. And then those old people, would eventually die out, and the world could return to a Garden of Eden with no humans around to build malls and create homelessness and kill all the fish and clear cut the trees, etc. So maybe the few remaining men who very occasionally like to have sex with ladies should stop drinking wine to accelerate the process of human depopulation. This Christmas, get drunk on something else. The Earth thanks you.
Oh.
All right. Listen, I was not aware we were in the midst of a sperm apocalypse.
Well.
And now
you know,
or a
spermato.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Go.
Is that our second Paul Harvey reference this morning?
Yeah.
Paul Harvey's Bristol Cream.
It's the week before vacation.
Wow.
This is it. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller
Page
Show.
Page 2.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking about the budget monster, who apparently is
premium support.
Right.
It's a serious plan.
Well, serious enough to get him teabagged right out of the party, apparently.
If I cloud my judgment by what is good for me politically or not, or how does this help me juxtapose against somebody else, that's just not right, in my opinion.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He went to Talk Like a Statesman class, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Ann's his wife has probably hid all the baseball caps. Just
please.
Don't wear them right. Give it to me.
And give me back my pink weights.
Give me back my girl weights.
Pink weights, but they were girl weights.
Representative Daryl Issa.
It's the best compromise you can get in divided governments. It's that simple. It's nowhere close to what Republicans like to have.
No, meaning, you know,
for
meaner,
example, somebody
meaner
else's
poor
car.
People.
Yeah,
you know, right. Oh, right. Like yeah, some people like other people's cars.
There's that.
Some people look at someone else's car and goes, hey, we could have. How did I even say that? And then invent a car alarm company. Okay, Representative Tim Hughes Kemp, Republican of Kansas.
It's going to raise taxes and fees, and it's not going to address the long-term overspending problem in Washington, which is we need to reform entitlements.
Overspending problem.
Slash social safety net, blah, right. Blah, 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 blah.
Who needs food safety? Come on.
Right, exactly.
Fire departments. What a waste.
All right. Obamacare enrollment picked up in November, as we know, more than doubling the low number seen in October after the troubled rollout. More than 250,000 people enrolled in private plans in the last month through healthcare.gov and the state-based marketplaces, according to a report just released. Add in the 100,000-plus who enrolled in October. The two-month grand total, bless you, comes to nearly $365,000. The White House had been aiming for 500,000 private enrollments. But administration officials expressed confidence that they would reach their ultimate goal, 7 million enrollees by March 31st, 2014. An Obama official said, based on experience such as that in Massachusetts, we expect the bulk of enrollees will occur toward the end of the enrollment period. Somebody said that not too long ago, right? They're like, we're Americans. We don't do anything till the last minute.
Right.
And that is exactly what they saw in Massachusetts. So we shall see. Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary.
I've asked our Inspector General, Dan Levinson, to investigate the development of healthcare.gov, including contractor acquisition, the overall management of the project, and performance and payment of our contractors.
All right. So have we? Are we past handshake gate and selfie gate?
I think so.
Okay. Well, this is going to be worse now.
Uh-oh.
Raul Castro has reached out to Obama, but don't call it a thaw yet. It's not a thaw. Tuesday's greeting between Obama and Castro comes after 6 months of quiet diplomacy. Oh, no, there's that again. Between the United States and Cuba, Castro signaling he's ready for bigger talks. Since President Obama came to office in 2009, he has signaled he is interested in a new relationship, according to current and former U.S. officials. These private signals and messages of the relationship, they're saying, may not be ready for a thaw. The Obama administration has addressed the human rights track by deepening its engagement with the Cuban human rights community at the highest levels,
Send in John Kerry.
Well, exactly. I know. It's like, why not? Whether it's Iran, Syria.
Perfect job for him.
Right. Seems like trying a different tack is working certainly better than it did in the Bush administration.
Yep.
Oh, here's something. Here's something that would set back that a skosh. President Ted Cruz.
Ew, God.
Our friend Joan Walsh writes in Salon, Ted Cruz manages to get even more repulsive. far from getting into the what would Mandela do spirit of the day, he made headlines by walking out on the speech by Cuban President Raul Castro. He's such a douche.
Oh,
he's just
God.
Such a self-aggrandizing douche. He said, blah, 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 blah. President Obama, meanwhile, is being torched by the right for shaking Castro's hand and even seeming to bow to the communist leader. Can't some tall conservatives at least explain what we saw was a tall man greeting someone shorter?
God.
That's a point no one else has made.
He's
not bowing. He's really tall.
He's trying to look him in the eye.
Of course, Cruz couldn't pull off his walkout with quiet dignity. It appears he wasn't spotted walking out. He announced it with a hectoring statement from his spokesman to ABC.
I'm walking out. Watch me. Here I go.
Oh, such a showboaty. Irritant. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll go outside and make snow angels.
Lie face down, and your beautiful smile will be molded into the snow.
Okay.
Jimmy Zavala on harp. Yeah.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Jim, for that musical fun fact. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Stephanie.
Yes, Jim.
Okay. Here's my point. If there's 5 to 7 million people that were just booted off of their insurance rolls, and they're calling this at a success, if they're going to sign up 7 million, doesn't that still leave 45 million Americans uninsured, which it was prior to this Obamacare?
Which is why we need single payer.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for
great,
your
great. Yeah.
Those... Thank you. Nicely done, sir. Thank you.
Perfect argument for single payer.
Mm-hmm.
That's socialism!
No matter how many times we lightly cover that hole with just a few twigs and some grass, they always fall right in the single-payer hole. Sorry, but... Oh, there was some glass in that. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We apologize.
And hammers. Oops.
I tried to just make it grass clippings.
He fell into a box of glass and hammers.
Sorry, he fell into a bag of single-payer glass. yes. Okay. A lot more people will be insured. About 30 million will be insured that were not insured with the Affordable Care Act. And the people that are losing plans are losing crappy ones.
Yes, exactly.
People that are insured will have actual insurance.
Yeah, but they're losing
and
their plans. So
single payer
failure. What? Oh, crap.
I mean, I'm putting them in the hole.
Never get actual socialism. Ah, crap.
I do not want to put the lotion
ow
on its arms. Oh, why looky here. Single payer getting a second life as Obamacare frustration peaks in the Daily Beast.
Huh.
Could anger at the Obamacare rollout make Americans more receptive to a kind of Medicare for All system? These are not Tea Party activists, but advocates for single-payer health system who say some of the problems with the launch of the Affordable Care Act, in addition to built-in problems with the law itself, have made the American public more receptive than ever to a Medicare for All kind of program. Our good friend Senator Bernie Sanders of the great and teeny tiny state of Vermont introduced a lot of people and going, hey, Vermont, you got good syrup and health care.
And good ice cream.
Right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would require each state to set up a... he introduced the American Health Security Act, which would require each state to set up a single-payer health care system and would undo the exchanges that have plagued Obamacare. In Vermont, for example, lawmakers have set aside the financing and are already preparing to adopt a single-payer system when the federal government permits it, which, according to provisions of the Affordable Care Act, will be in 2015. In Massachusetts, a former top Obama administration health official basing his campaign for governor on building a single-payer system. Bill Maher just talked about that, that he feels like we're paving the way for that here in California. John Podesta, the former White House chief of staff who's joining President Obama to help with health care, just applied online for Medicare. He tweeted, just applied online for Medicare, took 5 minutes. Single-payer, anyone? Republicans torpedoed the Affordable Care Act. I believe we will now have single payer in this country within the next 15 years, said Governor Ed Rendell. He said, I think the thing that is most interesting about government is that populism gets its biggest support not from Democrats, but from what Republicans do. So, you know, Sanders joked that he expected to have his bill passed by chambers of Congress and ready for President Obama's signature by the time he returns from Nelson Mandela's funeral. But few proponents see much hope of gaining traction for single-payer health care in Congress that has struggled to pass a routine budget. But still, you know, it might be starting a momentum, you know, state by state, that they're going to have a hard time stopping.
I think that's the way we'll get it, state by state.
Yeah. Well, right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Look at all the countries have given up on single-payer because it's so awful. What, none have?
No,
nobody?
No,
oh, boy.
No,
that's not. Oh,
zero.
There goes my talking point.
Zero. Fred in Chicago. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, I was wondering when that budget passes, if you could have one of our more craven Democratic senators come on the line on your show, because it seems every time a budget comes up, compromise always consists of putting Social Security up on a table, while the Republicans always stand rock solid against tax hikes for the rich, yet the Democrats somehow allow Social Security to come up on the chopping block, and Social Security doesn't cost the American taxpayers a cent.
Yep, that's right. Yes, Bernie Sanders always talks about it.
If we keep compromising, surely they'll do something right for a change, won't they?
By the way, Julie sends us a great quote from Bernie Sanders, speaking of this whole thing. She said, the gathering storm. Steph, how about something even more depressing than losing your L.A. flagship station, where you've had your chauffeur in the studio for 9 years, and your voice, and the will to live? The subject line from the title of Churchill's book about the years before World War II broke out, The Gathering Storm.
Sure.
Below from Bernie Sanders, the fact that more than anything, in my opinion, is feeding the next approaching storm. He just tweeted, the richest 300 persons on Earth have more money than the poorest 3 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, just
that's a lot of zeros.
Right. Think about that, to let that sink in, though. I mean, that really is...
That is getting worse.
Yeah, it's incredible. Except there were still fine Americans like Scott and Madison, who donated for Free Speech TV. Steph, just did my small part to bring you back to the TV. As an owner of a real estate appraisal firm, I don't get much chance to watch TV, but I listen to you every day. The Mic in Madison, FM, The Mic.
92.1.
Right? Every day, as I'm in, usually in my car or in my office, you guys are pretty much my coworkers every day. Oh, hiya, Scott. Looking forward to seeing you in Madison in March. Yep, VIP tickets. Woot! I think Madison is sold out, I'm sorry to say. There may be a very, very few tickets left. I would hurry, though. By the way, my wife suggested we show you a few good places to drink after the show if you're so inclined. If you're so... You listen every day and you don't know if I'm so inclined? The answer is...
Yes,
I am inclined.
Well, sure, you got to keep your sperm count up.
Yes, I do. I want to help the spermpocalypse. Now that I have testicles, that I'm on steroids for my voice.
We are his coworkers, so let me reach over into his cubicle and offer him a Jolly Rancher.
And a Werther's.
I made you a smoothie. Can I do your dry cleaning? Don in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Steph.
Hey.
I signed up for the Affordable Care Act insurance yesterday for my wife.
Uh-huh.
I'm not somebody who gets a subsidy. I make more money than that, so I have to pay the full price. But And I even had a group policy for her. I have Medicare, so I don't need it. But I had a group policy for her that I paid for years, and it was like $750 a month. And I'm getting virtually the same thing for $481 a month. It was the first opportunity I ever had shopping for insurance to look on one screen and compare three and four different companies' rates.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who've got plenty of money who aren't looking for a handout who are going to find that they're going to save money on this deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what Michael Tomosky did. He went on and pretended to be so-and-so from a red state and had 42 options. And he said that you're going to have a hard time convincing that is socialism to most Americans. By the way, the Josh Earnest talking about the president's poll numbers.
What we're focused on right now is the president's core priorities related to expanding economic opportunity for the middle class. And if we can make progress in those priorities, the poll numbers are going to take care of themselves.
Yeah, this poll was, I just think, I thought this selfie gate and, handshake gate. It's just the perfect example of... I'm surprised his poll numbers as high as they are with the constant stream of negativity about everything the man does. Seriously, right? Like a handshake to a... I told you that I think Michelle Obama was just with Rush Limbaugh when she told people to hydrate.
Drink water?
Right, because then the next day, what was he against?
Drinking water.
Wait, drink water? You drink water when you're thirsty. You don't need to... And then he fell on a sack of hammers.
And the hammers are suing.
Anyway, I don't know. These polls make no sense anyway. Most U.S. youth unhappy with Obama's job performance, but would vote for him again. I mean,
you voted for Reagan, so.
Oh, listen, do you need to keep bringing that up?
Well, I'm just that's an example of how stupid youth sometimes are.
What did you do for a beer koozie in Arizona, mister? You just stick with that.
That was a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi, I'll have you know. Even I got worse. Into some horrific credit card debt.
Even worse. See?
And I voted for Ross Perot.
Anytime you just even go on the interwebs, look at this. Right-wing Facebook page posts a Photoshop picture of Obama in a sexually suggestive situation with his daughter, Sasha.
What? Ew.
I mean...
Why?
It's just there really are no lengths they will not go to denigrate this man. It just makes me... Ugh. It makes me barfy.
Mm.
Todd in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello,
Jim and Chris.
Hello.
I'm getting so frustrated by these people that call in complaining about the canceled insurance policy.
Yeah.
First of all, that never happened before, as you know.
Well, they weren't. The majority really weren't canceled. They're simply modified. If you think of the business decision, no insurance company is going to willingly lose a customer. They modify cancel the policy and offer them another policy. It's kind of, I think about it as like an automobile recall. Do you want the car that has the gas tank that may explode, the crappy insurance policy, or will you allow us to change it and give you the better one?
Right.
And right. If you think about the argument early on, there were so many conservatives who said, well, if Obamacare is so wonderful, let's have all the politicians take it. Well,
yeah.
I would say the same. If these junk policies are so great, then why don't each of these people calling in drop their policy and go get a junk policy?
Yeah, go get the one that somebody threw out, exactly. Go in the recycling bin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want the Pinto? Okay, you can keep your Pinto. Good luck. Oops. This is further evidence that I think people are just starting to lose their in general. Did you see the story? A woman trapped in a locked bathroom forced to break out Shawshank style?
Yeah.
I would have freaked out, too. I would have freaked
She just had
out.
Rand Paul's spork. Cut that big hole in the wall.
It was around 10 o'clock on a Friday night. What was her name? Karen Perrin.
Right.
She was working late, making travel arrangements for her boss. Little did she know.
As Travis sometimes
uh-oh.
Does. Oh, God.
I hope when we're working from my house, he doesn't get locked in the bathroom, because that's small.
That is small. And he's...
I'll be drunk. I'll be like, what is that banging down there? Oh, probably nothing.
What's that digging sound?
Matt, stop digging in the yard. Ugh, that dog. Little did she know her night was about to get longer, a lot longer. I wrapped things up at my desk, packed my work bag, went to the ladies' room for a quick trip there before departing, washing her hands after doing her business. She went to leave the restroom only to find herself locked in with her cell phone on her desk. Oh, I hate when that happens.
Oh,
boy. Oh, dear. Perrin, who suffers from claustrophobia.
Oh, great.
Oh, God.
Had no way to signal her distress to the outside world.
She dug her way out with her bare hands, I guess.
She did. You see the hole?
There's a huge hole in the wall.
She tried sticking paper towels under the door in hopes someone was monitoring the office's security cameras.
But nobody was.
No. She tried kicking the door, breaking off the door handle, dismantling the lock. None of that worked. After 6 hours, her wits near on the verge of ending, she made a last-ditch effort to escape through an escape hatch in the ceiling. That, too, was a bust, but she did manage to obtain a 3-foot-long rod and a new plan. I thought about Shawshank Redemption, she said. Using the rod and the broken door handle, Perrin spent the next 2 hours bashing through layers of drywall until she made a hole big enough to put her arm through. All that was left was to stick her hand out and open the door. Dear
God. My God.
Wow. She's taking a few days off.
Yeah.
What, are the security guys watching porn or something?
I
bothered
what
with
that the... is. All right. Yeah, Nelson Mandela's like, why didn't I think of that?
Oh, stuff.
What? Too soon?
Too soon.
All right. 47 minutes.
Put you in a timeout for 4 minutes.
Okay, good. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the Political Party Line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
That makes me sweat.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Corky, welcome.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, I want to clear up the misconception about health care in the emergency room.
Yes.
The emergency room, they say, well, you can get health care at an emergency room. They can't refuse you. Nobody knows what the emergency room really is for. The emergency room is to stabilize you, to get you out of danger in the event you're in serious problems. Then they send you to your own doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have health insurance, you don't have a doctor.
Right.
Right.
So that emergency room scenario is bunk. It's a buy-off. Nobody gets treated at the emergency room. All they get is stabilized.
Right, but yeah, I think the problem is a lot of people, because they don't have health care, they end up going
to
the emergency room for
because
there's no such thing as preventative care, etc. Okay, Jerry in Phoenix. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I got a couple of questions.
Right.
I heard you talking about the governors that are pushing for single pay.
Single payer.
What about a situation where Medicare is basically given as an option for people to choose on the health care system?
That would be the easiest,
yes.
Actually. That would be the easiest way to do Medicare for all.
They could do it just like the regular insurance. I mean, after all, the Republicans want the post office to make money, so why should Medicare make money?
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. It is a start, Obamacare, but it is. You know, I think anything but Medicare for all is unnecessarily complicated.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
You know. Anyway, hey, guess what? That weird rice and actress, she pled guilty.
Oh, the one that was in The Walking Dead.
And we think we all have some crazy exes.
Well,
God. The younger
Mark
hubby was going to divorce her. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rice and letter to the president and say you did it. Oh, you crazy bitch. You're not going to do what?
Huh?
Actress Shannon, what is her name? Shannon Rogers Guess Richardson?
I guess.
She's got a
Richardson.
Guess. Mm-hmm. Texas woman, former actress, pled guilty to sending ricin-laced letters to President Obama and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. She was arrested in June after authorities said she tried to implicate her estranged husband, Nathan, after he had filed for divorce. Well, that'll show him. She mailed 3 letters from New Boston outside Texarkana, then went to police and claimed that her husband had done it.
Right. You do know the president doesn't open his own mail.
Yeah, there's that. She's not the brightest bulb. presents. Hang on, I can't go to Mandela's. I got mail to
Ooh,
open.
What's
Hang
this powder?
On. What's
is it
this
powdered sugar?
Ooh, that smells good.
Yummy.
What a Debbie. You know, it's gift giving season.
It is.
And I know everybody's thinking, primarily, what are you getting me?
I'm getting you a SodaStream.
Oh, thank you.
You don't have one, do
Why
you?
Why celebrities always make us feel bad? Angelina Jolie bought Brad Pitt a heart-shaped island for his 50th birthday, located 50 miles away from New York City.
Hmm.
Huh.
Not see? Now that's a, you know, it's, what is that shape like? What is that shape like a phallus? I said a heart-shaped island. I take it back. Did you keep the receipt?
Looks more like a scrotum. What? Come on.
However.
Well, that's because you have it upside down.
Oh.
As you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Angelina Jolie has also been banned from flying her personal plane. Mm-hmm. Don't you hate when that happens right after you bought a heart-shaped island for your house, for your whoever?
Celebrities, they're just like us.
They're just like us. Don't you hate that? You've just bought your husband a heart-shaped island, and now you can't fly
your
personal plane.
$360,000 airplane.
Right.
Cirrus with a
built-in
parachute in case you screw up.
SR-22, one of the fastest planes in the world.
Oh, well, fastest.
Yeah, she is banned from flying. She failed to renew its registration in time. Well, who's going to be able to pull it over? It's the fastest plane.
Not the fastest private plane.
Can I see your registration?
It can't outrun an F-16.
Well, it's
all right, pull over. I'll need to see your license.
It has fixed landing gear. It's not going
to
go.
Now how's she going to get to the heart-shaped private island, right?
Or it's scrotum-shaped if you hold it upside down.
Right.
This is really sad. What? You don't seem to have
What kind of runway can you build on a scrotum-shaped island?
It's scrotum-shaped if you hold it upside down, Steph.
You don't seem to have any empathy, any sympathy at all for celebrities that can no longer fly to their heart-shaped islands on their private plane any longer. Mm. Look at you. You don't care.
No, don't care. Not at all. I'm a bastard.
Or a bastard person. All right, she presumably hates you and your ass face.
I'm sure she does.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, 58 minutes.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
They're just like us. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up in just a little bit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaBoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I was up very late last night.
Why?
Well, I was feeding a man whiskey in my house and moving heavy things around. We're building the home radio studio that we will be broadcasting from the first of the year. I'm not sure what it looks like this morning because he was drunk.
Oh, dear.
What does this thing do?
It's going to be spectacular. Okay.
Well, you know who it was. It's Tony.
Tony.
The
it's
guy
our
who
Tony.
Fills in for...
He's still going to.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be very, very exciting. A love letter from Jesse in Iowa. Steph. Oh. Hi, Mama. Sorry to hear about KTLK. That's our flagship station.
Right.
That we will be. They will be flipping to right-wing talk.
Whatever.
Because there's not enough. Excuse me, Jim. And we wish them well in every language, including German. It might be better in the original German, actually. I kid, of course. I'm a laughing on the outside kind of clown. Even so, I think the future is bright. Oh, our future is so bright, I got to wear shades. As the way the media is delivered starts to shift away from traditional radio, Palin, the Little Dumber Girl, and Rush may win the occasional battle, but they won't win the war against our country moving forward into the future. True, forward, Chris, moving forward.
Forward.
I was thinking, I've had my Volt for about 1.5 years now. I can count on one hand the number of hours I've listened to AM or FM radio in the car. I have Sirius XM, woot, and the Stephcast, $4.95 a month, a year in advance. Bling. So my time on traditional radio is quite limited. Yep. I'm thrilled you're returning to TV. I will maybe DVR you again and watch you, the Mooks, and the Mastodons. I just put some money toward the show on Free Speech. Thank you, honey.
Aww.
Go to our Facebook page to donate to Free Speech TV. One of the last non-corporate, commercial-free, environments for people like me and Tom Hartman and Bill Press and Amy Goodman. Yeah, exactly. The Mastodons. Exactly. Max and Friend, my handsome romantics, will be able to be on the show.
They're more like polar bears, really.
Yes, they are very large. And they look even larger in the studio, which is on the smallish side. Teeny tiny. Yeah, we were, you know, building the studio in a little bit of a drunken stupor, and they're like, well, Chris wanted more room here. I'm like, screw him! He needs to stop lifting things. He's too big.
I can't help it.
You can work from the weight room.
I will quit lifting as soon as you quit spinning.
No. Okay, says no.
Greg says, what was the iHeart station you've been on generally January? Can you post that on your Facebook page if you haven't already?
Yes. Just look for The Mic in Madison or 880 The Revolution in Nashville.
Right. Or ProgressiveVoices.com, another excellent.
Well, he was
online.
Asking for iHeart Radio, and those were the two on iHeart Radio that you can still get.
I'm also an app myself, you know.
You can get the Stephanie Miller app. That's easy.
Right. Harriet has a TV problem. Mm-hmm. Staff, my housing situation is a complex of apartment buildings who years ago made a long-term contract with Comcast. Ugh.
Okay.
So I have no choice of a cable provider. I can't use a dish or et cetera. I'm very happy that I'm in the Chicagoland area, though I'm a regular WCPT listener and don't need to see the show, but it would be fun to see it on my computer. How do I find it there? Well,
freespeech.org.
There you go. You can watch it there online as well.
Yeah. Or you can get yourself a Roku box. It's just like a $50 box that you hook up to your TV via an HDMI
cable. That's a low-cost box.
Yeah.
Jim's paid far more than that.
And you can get several things like Netflix, Hulu on it, but you can also get the Free Speech app on it. Which you can watch us on.
I thought you said Netflix. That's a completely different
thing. No, Netflix is entirely...
It's something they
watch
in Utah.
House of Cards is coming back. I'm addicted.
Orange is the New Black is coming back, too.
Really?
I haven't watched any of those shows.
Orange is the New Black is amazing. It really is.
I didn't like one line. Be careful, the lesbians. They'll pretend they're your friend.
Yeah.
That is so...
True.
Well, yes, but homophobic. I mean, really. Okay. Susan in La Quinta, California.
La Quinta.
Out there in the Coachella Valley.
Right. Thank you. See you in Seattle this Saturday for the Miss Big Chris Mahanakwanska show. Hey, Steph, you and the guys are my religion. I can't get enough. Oh, yeah.
She must listen on KPTR in Palm Springs.
There you are. I am flying to Seattle on Thursday and have VIP tickets to Sexy Liberal. I am saving $3,000 next year by signing up with Covered California. Thanks, Obama. And a friend of mine is saving approximately $10,000 next year with Covered California. She's eligible for subsidies and has a pre-existing condition. Free Speech TV, count me in. See you in Seattle. I will. Okay.
Wrapping up the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour for 2013, the Emerald City is about to get a brand new dose of hilarity.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of going for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
Saturday, December 14th, the Paramount Theater welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks in the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. The Paramount now welcomes Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by going to stgpresents.org or the Paramount Box Office or sexyliberal.com. Don't miss this show December 14th.
What a festive day.
This is the Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Woohoo! And the big news, Jim Ward. Jim Ward just added this to the...
He'll be fine.
Emceeing the big show, Dan Savage, our celebrity panelist. We are so excited.
Typhoid Jim, as we call him.
Typhoid Jim will be there. Along with Road Phlegm Mary.
Sure.
That's me. Get it, Road Phlegm.
Yes.
I'm going on the road and I still have phlegm because I'm sick. Okay. And then don't forget Phoenix in February, Madison in... Madison, I think, is sold out. Sorry. Might be a couple tickets. Try. Albuquerque going very, very fast in May. Speaking of which, Tyson, who's the father of Audrey... Our Charlie Rangel impersonator.
Charlie Rangel?
Well, she's actually impersonating Jim
Charlie Rangel.
Right. Thank you, Audrey.
She's probably a 60-year-old woman by now, because that was a long time ago.
Right.
I remember hearing you on the wireless. when I was
dear
a
mama and a
child
and assorted mookage. I'm happy to inform you I dug deep, contributed $25 to the Free Speech TV campaign. Thank you, Tyson. I had intended on giving more, but I had to spend that money to upgrade my DirecTV system. Apparently one needs to have HD service in order to view Free Speech TV. I decided as long as I was upgrading to HD, I might as well get the Genie as well. I'll be able to record your program now and watch it whenever I want.
Wow.
Yay. So happy you're coming back to the TV. Now let's talk about sexy liberal Albuquerque. May I please request Jim and Chris to make it to the show as well. Chris needs to come because his frat buddy will most likely
That's
be in
right.
attendance.
John Skelton.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jim needs to come because, well, Albuquerque just wants Jim to do his Bugs Bunny impersonation while he's here. If necessary, I can get together a ragtag blues band to back him Ooh. Up if he wants to blow hot harp licks.
Well.
Hello. Please keep me posted. Let me know if there's anything I can do to make your visit to Albuquerque more pleasurable. I have already procured a large 800-gallon container to fill with wine, which I will back up to the loading dock at the Pope Joy Hall to make sure you don't get parched while you're here. Can't wait to see you on the BoobTube. Mm. Thank you, Tyson.
I've been to Santa Fe and Taos, but never to Albuquerque.
Well, you just turn left. It's Santa Fe.
Should have turned left in Albuquerque.
There
in
it is.
In the room.
Lauren in Seattle. Hello, Lauren.
Hey, it's Warren.
Oh, Lauren. Sorry.
Warren. Warren Buffett.
Oh.
There you go. Hey, I just want to say I'm a row two VIP ticket for the Paramount this Saturday.
Woo! Write that down. Let me write that down. Hey. Row two. Okay.
And bring your rain jacket and your umbrella. It's supposed to be a little rainy and cold. So
in
for
Seattle?
That.
You're kidding me.
Never. Well, it's been sunny for like 3 weeks now, but so I just... You come in, it's going to rain, of course.
Just in time for two sick people.
Yes, good. Perfect. All right, Lauren. Warren, we'll see you there.
Know, plenty of people get sick in Seattle all the time without dying. I think your guys are going
to
be fine.
Yeah, but I have to do voices. I can't even.
Voiceover people live
voice.
In Seattle all the time.
All of the people you're impersonating have a cold. Aldis in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Aldis.
Hey, guys. You know, as you may remember, one of the big things I am into is checking out what happens in the broadcast industry. And it struck me, this is not
Oh, everything's going
time.
Very well. Thanks for asking.
Yes, it's great. Yeah, no, but it struck me, this is not the first conservative talk station in L.A., so I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Oh,
so
it's the fourth.
Oh, I looked. I'm like, wait a minute. KFI has this huge broadcast range. That's currently where Limbaugh is, and he's getting shunted down to 1150 KTLK. Now,
yeah, to my
terrible.
Little pea shooter.
Yeah.
It's terrible that you're losing your station, but ooh, what a hit for Limbaugh.
Yep, it is.
The silver lining on this gray clown, that is that one.
Yeah. That's an insult
well,
to Limbaugh.
Well, I got to say, and anybody in radio knows this, Aldis, one of the main reasons that radio is suffering so much is Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's the one that's scared. No, he scared away all the advertisers.
Oh, yeah.
His
right,
whole, slut thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but shows with 600 stations can take the hit, Aldis, a little better than, you know, than some of us. But
true.
Yeah.
No, this is absolutely true. But I, at least, if nothing else, want to point out the silver lining that Rush is going to have far less broadcast power in L.A. at this point. And, hey, it's not to say you guys can't find another stick out there.
Well, listen, there's already some, I can't say anything, I have to tell you. I'd have to kill you. But, you know.
And radio is also getting to the point where you actually don't need a terrestrial station anymore to be successful in broadcasting.
Yeah.
Well, as much as I listen to the car, it's a good idea.
Well, and I got to say, you in Madison, that's one of the best examples, too, though, of FM. Obviously, our station, we've been number one in Madison forever because it's a great FM station.
That's
and that's really, I think, you know, what, you know, certainly, and certainly if liberals want to invest, they ought to do FMs, right?
Well, and not only that, but we get to hear Jim's Kim Jong-il in stereo.
But, you know, Aldis, I was going to say quickly before we go, you and I have talked about this before. This is one of the reasons, though, for, you know, the free speech TVs of the world, because it's not the, I don't blame particular people. These are huge corporations, you know, and they are all owned by conservatives. And guess what? This is a free country. They have a right to do what they want, right, with their own programming.
Right, and we have a right to find new ways to get you to us.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. I will get to you somehow.
Rush Limbaugh on a weaker signal would sound like... Oh, he sounds like that anyway. That's right.
It'll be incomprehensible now. I'm working on a way to get you through your fillings. I have a dentist friend. We're working on it.
All right.
There was a story I was going to tell. I'm not sure I can without getting killed.
You can't drop that bomb and run.
Well, all right, never mind. Well, I'm just saying, in the corporate structure of radio now, you know this. Let's just say major station called me a while ago.
Yes, right.
Right. But it was like, remember the time the Bill O'Reilly Booker called me? And I said, well, yes, I'd love to be on with Bill.
And then you didn't.
I never heard back. He was. So I'm just saying, I'm sure all I can think is that was run off the corporate flagpole because all the corporations are owned by conservatives in radio.
It was run.
So it's a huge fan of mine that was wanted to be at a major station in a major time slot, but then I was like, never heard back. Crickets, because when you run that up the conservative flagpole,
they get shot down.
Right. That doesn't go very far. I hope I didn't get anyone in trouble. Okay. 18 minutes. Oh, boy. You know what? We might want to hit the lights now and get out.
Yeah.
18 minutes
after. Remember when they gave you 2 days to do your last two shows? And those 2 days only lasted one day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we still on?
Calling Danny Bonaducci.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Check it out. Yeah.
She's so modest.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Such a wallflower.
Bob Seska.
When won't she break out of her shell?
Aw. Bob Seska coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so we're in the midst of building my home studio, because you know I am an elderly, bitter old shut-in.
Yep.
And it's only going to get worse in the new year. I will literally never leave my house. We will be doing the show, TV and radio show, from my house. We're building a studio in my office.
You know, Amazon delivers groceries now.
Oh, my God. That's it. Game over, man.
Game over, man!
I am going to become Gene Wilder, who apparently is a bitter recluse now.
Yeah.
That was me, like, several years ago.
No.
Funny man Gene Wilder, 80, has shunned Hollywood. They're reporting, preferring to spend his final days holed up in his country mansion in Bedford, New York.
Hmm.
His wife says the young Frankenstein star doesn't leave their home for months on end. Well, unless he has to, you know, get back in the
listen couple, to me very you know, carefully.
Right.
Put the panic, candle back.
In the panic room. I got to get one
with
of those.
Jodie Foster.
That's how we get in the radio studio. That's what we're setting it up right now.
In the panic room.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's how you get in. You have to put the candle back.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Ah, right. And then someone brings us an abnormal brain.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's probably not nice to, you know, people that come door-to-door like salesmen and stuff, right?
You get nothing.
Right.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah, that's.
So when Kathleen Madigan comes over to do the show, we're going to have to tell her to put the candle back.
Right. Listen to me very carefully, Kathleen.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Or Elvira.
Put
or Jen
the
Kirkman.
Candle back.
You know, Kathleen Madison is going to be all
Madison?
Up in my wine
Madigan.
Cellar. Madigan. Right. You
Who's
know what I mean?
Madison?
The studio is dangerously close to the wine.
She'll find the liquor.
Yeah. Is that Jim doing his John Boner impression? Kathleen, get it! All right.
Wait a minute, I had a whole case of Pinot Noir.
What the hell? One thing I will not be doing is cooking. I was kidding, Jim. I will not be making you a friggin' omelet. Do not ask.
I would like goat cheese and mushrooms, please.
Mm.
Well,
I want a pony.
And Katy Perry is also terrible at cooking. She said the first thing you need to know about me is I can't even boil an egg. Mm. I was just thinking that the other day. I have eggs left over because I had house guests over Thanksgiving. I don't know how to boil an egg. Seriously, I never know. How long is it? I've had to ask people a million times. I don't remember. Is it 3 minutes?
Depends what altitude.
No. No, not 3 minutes.
How long do you boil an egg?
Longer than that.
How
you don't
hard
know
do you
either.
Want your eggs?
Well, I stopped boiling hard. Eggs once you guys complained about them.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he used to bring the oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't be bringing that to the new studio.
Now to bring cottage cheese. Okay. That's how I get my morning protein.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry shouldn't cook anyway because her breastises would get in the way.
Yeah, right. That's her flammable.
You could help her with that, you know.
Yeah. That's my
you could
plan.
Be her Sue chef.
Well, by Sue, I mean.
Sue does mean under in French.
How do you do? Oh,
anything
dear.
Else I can help you with?
Poor Justin Bieber. He says the media is bullying him.
Oh, God. Really?
I think he's for kind being of a douche, and they're just pointing it out that he's kind of douche, getting douchier every day. I'm becoming a man. But I'm still 19, and I find myself when I have the media attacking me every day. It's no different than bullying that happens in school. Just like bullying in school, except...
Except you make $1 billion.
Right, except kids in school that make $1 billion, right.
Stop acting like a six-year-old at 19, and the media won't point it out.
People forget I'm a human being. You bastards are lucky he even performs for you. Leave him alone.
Oh, I'm leaving him alone, all right.
You know, he graffitied an Australian town in the... Did you see this? He was threatened by the Australian mayor. He picked the wrong city to tag. The mayor of Gold Coast, Australia, issued an ultimatum to Mayor Tom Tate. Issued a video message. He said, "I've got a message for Pop Princess. Justin Bieber. We love your music, but we hate your graffiti and your vandalism here in our city. Mate, you've got two choices: come back and clean up your mess, or come back and sing at the mayor's Christmas Carol event."
Well, that's the everyday blackmail in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, celebrity chef and husband choking victim
Nigella Lawson
admits cocaine use.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, what are you, high, really? I'm so sorry, I just got my neck in the way of his hands. I don't know what... She admitted she has taken cocaine a handful of times.
A number of times.
She said her ex-husband had threatened to destroy her if she did not clear his name after he was photographed gripping her throat, as you do outside a London restaurant. Just to emphasize your point.
The gripping of the throat might be a little bit worse than the cocaine use.
You think?
I think so.
Of course, he might be using cocaine, too. Maybe
that could lead to anger.
Like a good idea.
Maybe she took his last handful of cocaine.
That could
be. He was just asking her where it might be located.
Cocaine running all around my brain.
All right. 29 minutes. Wow. Yes, it sure is the week before vacation week. Whee! No, we have one more week, right?
One more week.
Right.
Next week is...
Yeah. Right, right.
That'll be our last week in the studio.
Yes. 29 minutes after the hour, before the Max and Fred Show. Bob Seska next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The house looks beautiful. It's like Christmas with a childless gay couple.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. My buddy, my pal, aloha and mahalo, Bob Seska.
Hi, Stephanie.
Somebody was asking me to do Sexy Liberal at the end of 2014 in Hawaii, and they said, P.S., Bob Seska lives here. I said, done.
All right, I'm so there.
That's all I need. I got a free lay for you. Now, Bob, I had not heard Rush Limbaugh's comments on how to avoid being accused of sexual harassment. Thank you.
That's fun.
Yeah, thank you for alerting me to them. He said, you find yourself staring, looking at, casually glancing at a woman, but you know now it's socially taboo. You shouldn't be doing it. You think everybody's noticing you're doing it and condemning you in their minds. You shouldn't, so you should walk up to the woman and say, "Will you please ask your breasts to stop staring at my eyes? Try that."
He's so funny.
Funny. As you point out,
I'm
Limbaugh...
still waiting for him to like break out of his fat suit and like Andy Kaufman says, "Hi, everybody. It's all been a big joke."
you said Limbaugh has some serious woman issues. Someone's mommy made him scrub his dirty, dirty man body with pumice stone and then ritualistically shaped his scrotum.
Oh God!
You're just guessing. You don't know for sure.
When I wrote that, I just threw up a little bit. It was just one of those things where I just deliberately made myself sick.
You know, you and I, by the way, love the same comedy toys. We talked yesterday, didn't we, Chris, about Crazy Steve Stockman?
Yes.
And what has Bob...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, right? He is. He will be teabagging John Cornyn. You say there's not really much of a chance of Representative Steve Stockman, Republican of Texas, the internet troll who wastes his taxpayer-funded congressional salary by spending all day tweeting far-right zingers, will ever defeat Senator John Cornyn. But you say, damn it, Stockman won't be bested without a flailing, incoherent fight. Yeah, this guy is, wow, right?
Yeah, it's breathtaking crazy. I mean, his brain is like a bag full of cats. I mean, I couldn't believe it. When I stumbled onto his Twitter feed about, 5-6 months ago, I thought it was a parody. I thought it was someone screwing with us because just everything, every single tweet that comes out of him is insane. I mean, it's just all he does all day long with his taxpayer-funded congressional salary is to troll on Twitter. And evidently he woke up the other morning and just said, hey, I'm going to be senator. And decided to run for Senate. I mean, he blindsided everybody with this, including the Republican establishment and Louie Gohmert, who has no idea. He's like, I had no idea it was running. I mean, he's actually too crazy for Louie Gohmert.
No, I love that. That's what you said. He has no money, but he's fortified with crazy strength. The ability to, no matter what happens or who objects, shamelessly blurt unhinged fits of extremist crapola that would make Louie Gohmert say, that's nuts.
Yeah, totally. And that's actually the case because Louie Gohmert said, you know, he was asked about the Stockman candidacy and went, what?
What is this?
He's running? I had no idea, and I don't care.
And in his manifesto, you say he used the phrase liberal John Cornyn 21 times. You say, yes, John Cornyn, with his 100% rating from the Christian Coalition and A rating from the NRA, is a leftist. In fact, he was rated second least liberal member of the U.S. Senate, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's the second most conservative member of the U.S. Senate, according to Open Congress. And, you know, I mean, he's actually pretty neck and neck with Steve Stockman in terms of their voting record, too. I mean, I think John Cornyn voted with the Republican Party 89% of the time. Steve Stockman voted with his party 91% of the time. I mean, they're basically the same guy, except John Cornyn is kind of a grown-up and Steve Stockman is a Twitter troll. I mean, that's the big defining factor between the two of them. Steve Stockman did this because, I mean, the only reason he's in Congress is because his district is so heavily gerrymandered. It was actually Ron Paul's former district, so that gives you a sense of the electorate there. And because he basically was unopposed, he walked into Congress again. But I mean, he's got this huge, ridiculous history of insanity. I mean, just the craziest things. Going back to the middle 90s, he was in Congress for one term from 95 to 97. And then was voted out of Congress for good reason. I mean, he was caught with Valium in his underpants.
That's my favorite. Yeah. Well, sometimes you're, as I said yesterday, sometimes your penis is tense. And you need some sedatives.
Something tells me I don't think Steve Stockman has that problem. I think everything is loosey-goosey down there.
You picked out one thing from his manifesto. He wrote, every Republican who works to fund Obamacare kills freedom twice as quickly as when a Democrat does it. And you said, I have no idea what that means.
No, I have no idea either. People are still trying to deconstruct that sentence without much luck. I think MIT is working on it.
I'm still working past his brain is like a bag of cats. Fighting it out for a coherent thought. You said, as we witnessed last week, Alex Jones rejected the conspiracy theory for being too insane. Far-right Tea Party groups are already distancing themselves from Stockman. This is just going to be nothing but good comedy fun, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I can't wait for the TV ads. I mean, every couple of years we get a good run of ridiculous far-right TV ads. And I think this primary campaign, the next 3 months are just going to be delicious. I've already started popping the popcorn and you know, chugging the bourbon to enjoy this.
Are we going to get to I Am Not a Witch levels? Is that what we're talking about now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's going to be lots and lots of crazy to devour in this one.
Awesome. Awesome. Good news for Sexy Liberal 2014. We'll see you for the big Hawaii show whenever that is. But I'm coming to see you.
And
you're doing panel. I'm booking you right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. I'll get ready. I'll do my hair and get makeup on and all that.
Board shorts, please. All right, Bob. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Stephanie.
All right.
Bye.
There he goes.
Merry Christmas.
I just try to say it in that aggressive way that...
Merry Christmas. That evangelicals do.
Right.
Yeah.
That wild-eyed...
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Fox's Megyn Kelly says it's verifiably true that Jesus was white, and so is Santa. She was there. So is Santa. She says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, didn't she just say that she's a Fox Straight News anchor?
Yes.
She's not an opinion person.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right then. Okay. In other douche news, have you ever noticed that Kanye West is kind of a jackass?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think you're the first one to notice that.
No.
No? A Kanye West fan who just didn't get her idol's art was unceremoniously booted from a recent concert by Kanye after asking him to take off his creepy-ass mask Kanye stopped a Sunday San Antonio show so he could respond to the heckling woman in person. He said, you can see my face on the internet net every mother day. I came here, I open up a mountain, and you trying to tell me how to give you my art. Do I look like a mother comedian? Don't heckle me like I'm Kanye mother West.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, my God.
He's an ass.
Every story just gets douchier and douchier. All right, in non-douche news, how much do we love George Clooney? Just
yeah.
do. This is the awesome, I think, the ing awesome. George Clooney addresses gay rumors in the best way possible. George Clooney's sexuality, frequent fodder for the tabloids, but the superstar actor doesn't feel the need to deny being gay. I think this is so cool of him. He said a headline read, George Clooney, gay, gay, gay. And I said, I'm gay, gay. The third one's kind of pushing it. He said, well, now according to the internet, I'm gay. You're not going to deny it because that's flat out insulting to the gay community. Clooney previously addressed the gay rumors in an interview with The Advocate last year, again refusing to deny them. He said, I think it's funny, but the last thing you'll ever see me do is jump up and down and say these are lies. That would be unfair and unkind to my good friends in the gay community. I'm not going to let anyone make them seem like being gay is a bad thing. My private life is private. I'm very happy in it. Who does it hurt if someone thinks I'm gay? I'll be long dead, and there still be people who said I was gay. I don't give a... that's not what I meant. I meant that. Good for him. In my opinion, people have to go out on a limb to see how what a womanizer they are that might have something. You know, just saying. He seems very secure, like he doesn't have to, you know, spaz out about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is.
Meanwhile, Tom Cruise pushes his girlfriends in our face.
Right, I didn't. I wasn't mentioning anybody in particular. He tends to be a big womanizer.
Look at these chicks. They dig me. I love chicks.
He might like bags of sand. You don't know. Oh, my God. Gossip, gossip, gossip.
What?
Why Kirstie Alley hates Valerie Bertinelli's guts. I had not heard this gossip.
Oh,
cat
really?
Fight.
Yes, cat fight. It's like Steve Stockman's brain. As Kirstie Alley brings her new sitcom to TV Land, this is from the National Enquirer.
Okay.
The paper, as I call it.
Yeah.
She's ignited a bitter behind-the-scenes battle with her former friend, Valerie Bertinelli. According to a source, her Kirstie's self-titled show launched December 4th, joining Valerie's Hot in Cleveland, mm-hmm. which is a big hit, obviously.
Yep.
They used to be friends, but now Kirstie hates Valerie's guts, said a Hollywood insider. Kirstie recently took a jab at Valerie on Twitter, suggesting the actress had hooked up with Kirstie's ex-husband, Parker Stevenson.
But if they're
back when they were doing the Hardy Boys thing and Valerie was 18, Kirstie treated, were you messing with my man then? Along with a photo.
But they weren't together then, were they?
I don't know.
When Parker Stevenson was doing a Hardy Boys?
I don't know. Valerie tweeted in response, ha, I was jailbait back then.
Not at 18.
This is so, like, death becomes her. The truth is Valerie makes Kirstie sick because she beats Kirstie at virtually everything she does. Kirstie is a long-harbored hatred toward Valerie for successfully losing weight and keeping it off. It was Kirstie, the former member Jenny Craig spokesperson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who brought Valerie on board as a celebrity endorser. The next year, Jenny Craig dumped Kirstie
because
piling the pounds back.
Because Kirstie... got fat again.
Right. Kirstie was outraged and humiliated over her ouster from Jenny Craig. She hoped sales would go in the toilet without her, but Jenny Craig's business boomed after Valerie signed on. Oh, no.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Ah! Ouch.
Who knew? Oh, it's delicious. It's a delicious little catfight.
Kirstie Alley just seems to be horribly vindictive.
I've only met Valerie Bertinelli, and she was lovely, so I'm on her side.
Well, you met her when you...
If we're in a girl fight, I'm on Valerie's side.
You met her when you were an extra in her TV film.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Shattered Vows. And yes. I let her use the payphone to talk to Eddie Van Halen, even though I was in line next for the payphone, because it was in 19-aught.
I wonder if...
it was in the valley in the summer. I played a novice nun in a wool habit. It's awesome.
You were scrubbing the floors
in
the
valley. Oh, my God, better. It does get better, kids.
Did you have a line?
No.
Oh.
No.
Just an extra.
Patricia Hearst kept forgetting hers, though, and I kept feeding them to her.
Patty Hearst?
No, wow. Not Patty Hearst, the other one.
Oh, what?
The actress, I'm thinking, it's Patricia somebody. No.
Keaton?
No! I'll think of it.
Lawford?
Google it. Google Shattered Vows. You'll see who I mean.
Well, I'll Google it during the commercial.
All
we
right,
need
fine.
To break.
No, and then she filled in.
You acted alongside Patty Hearst?
No.
I was in the Patty Hearst movie as a reporter.
Me
and Christine
Lund. The woman played this.
We're playing reporters.
Some movie. She's an older, distinguished actress. I forget her name.
Oh, Patricia, yeah, the
right.
dark-haired, the Neil.
Patricia Thank you, Neil. Patricia Neil. Wow. You knew that's what I meant.
No, I didn't know until you said the older actress.
You know, that older actress.
And also she filled in for Joy Behar on her HLN show, and so I was on that show with her.
Patricia Neil?
No, Valerie Bertinelli. And she was delightful.
I wonder if Eddie ever christened her in Dutch
you
when
know
he
what?
Knew he was losing
I'll be
the
in
argument.
The shed with Old Yeller. I have had it. Right back on
You
the
were screen. In Patricia Neil's last movie. That
oh,
is so
wow.
impressive.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The way you walk and talk really sets me off to a full-on child. Yes, the way you push, push, let me know that you're good.
Yeah. No, Kevin in Chicago, I did not play Patricia Neal's mother in some old... She played the Mother Superior, and I played a novice nun in Shattered Boughs, the Valerie Bertinelli movie, in 1985.
And I'm getting cards and letters saying that it was not Patricia Neal's last movie. Her
no.
last movie was in 2009.
Thank you. This hour, I have some pictures from that set, and I have them encased in carbonite. All right, 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Ooh, all 3 hours of Fridays with Fugelsang tomorrow.
That's right.
Very, very exciting. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in honor of, we got our big final 2013 Sexy Liberal Show in Seattle that Jim Ward will be joining us for. So,
And?
Yeah, what?
Hour three, Carlos in studio with us here.
Oh, Carlos Alzraki, Sexy Liberal Extraordinaire.
That's right.
Yes!
Oh, my
God, it's a Sexy
up.
Liberal Extravaganza.
We're going to be full up with Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, and I imagine we will get Jim and Carlos to do dueling, maybe a little bit of dueling Robert De Niro's.
A little bit. You sold him a little bit.
Yeah.
Enthusiasms.
Right.
Enthusiasms.
People have a lot of enthusiasms for the dueling Robert De Niro's.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. All right. Speaking of actors, Ben Affleck on Republican Actors, he said, when I watch a guy I know is a big Republican, a part of me thinks I probably wouldn't like this person if I met him, or we would have different opinions. He said, that fogs the mind. Actually, when I see which Baldwin is it? The child of the lesser Baldwin? Stephen?
Stephen. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. I just think, wow, he's a crappy actor.
Well, I mean, he's had moments. He was great in The Usual Suspects.
Really?
Yeah.
Those... What's the three-way right. Baldwin yeah. movie I'm thinking of? That's Billy Baldwin with the three-way.
No, you're thinking of Threesome with Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, okay.
Josh Charles and...
They're just more yeah. forgettable Baldwins is all I'm saying.
No. The lesser Baldwins.
Yeah, they are children of a lesser Baldwin. I'm sorry.
Laura Flynn Boyle was in that
Alec,
one,
despite his flaws, Alex, despite his flaws, he's the best actor. He's brilliant. Okay. So, by the by, guess what? We were talking to Michael Tomosky yesterday about how Republicans, pretty much historically speaking, have always been wrongy McWrongersons. Guess what? Liz Cheney, wrong again.
Wrong!
Daily Beast, yes. Ironically, Eleanor Clift, in my opinion, always right. Liz Cheney, always
wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Thanks. Jim, you okay? Daily Beast.
He had a stroke over there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No, I'm just reading about the depth of the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, thanks for bringing this up.
Cesium-137.
Awesome. What conservatives like Liz Cheney don't understand about apartheid, now she's just not wrong now, like about gay marriage. She's just always been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Cheney doesn't just share her father's neoconservative politics. As a young woman, she also shared his support for the apartheid regime in South
great.
Africa. In a 1988 editorial for her college newspaper, Cheney wrote, "The real problem with divestment is that it won't work. Like most moral statements, it accomplishes nothing tangible. Well, you were wrong. And you are wrong now. You are on the wrong side of history then. You are on the wrong side of history now. About gay marriage.
You're wronger than Eleanor Cliff. You're wrong.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, we were talking a couple of days about Rick Perry. Obviously looks like he's...
Oops.
Right. Governor Oops looks like he is the... he's the little dumber boy. Mm-hmm. Looks like he will be running. This story just cracks me up about how, you know, when they try to seem really optimistic about their chances for 2016. This is from the Daily Beast. No matter what he claims publicly, Perry's certainly running for the White House again. Everything around him, his busy travel schedule, his repackaged, refocused stump speech, his new hip eyewear.
Ooh.
His what?
Ooh, someone's been to Lens Crafters. What a makeover. Even the size of his entourage have the markings of a candidate in waiting, of a contender eager for redemption. Katie Dawson? Please and thank you.
She is with
Chairman of Perry's 2012 South Carolina campaign.
Okay.
She said the personal charisma meter just goes off the charts with Rick Perry because he's a regular guy from Texas.
Charisma is a part of being president, but it's not the only thing. They're only running him on charisma.
America may have, sated their appetite for dumb guys from Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Shock and awe.
Katie, please and thank you. Katie Dawson. Says of the 2016 Republican field,
right?
It's going to be a pretty sexy-looking bunch.
We've replaced Rick Perry with Josh Brolin. Let's watch the fun. Oops.
Who is she talking about is going to be a sexy-looking bunch, I wonder?
The Republicans?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Who
Rob Ford?
Katie finds somebody very, very sexy.
Sounds like... Katie needs to get let... Never mind.
Pardon me?
What?
Pardon me?
Nothing.
By the way, I have to find a quick one to finish with, but okay. This is important. The British are invading China with pig semen.
With what?
Wow.
Chinese pigs are in for a surprise. Hello. The UK and China just signed a $74 million deal to export British pig semen to Chinese farms where the pigs will be artificially inseminated. Apparently, the British pigs are much more desirable than their Chinese counterparts. Well, who doesn't know that?
As you do.
British pigs eat less, grow faster, and mate more than Chinese pigs.
Hmm.
It's a sperm apocalypse. It's a pig. Starring Ian Ziering. Pig apocalypse. It's time for vacation. Yet.
Not yet. One more week.
Beep. Okay, we will see you. Thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Travis on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.